Welcome to Senior Talk with Cheryl Culbertson, your Texas senior care expert. Cheryl has over 30 years of experience directly related to the senior housing and senior care industry, and she understands the many difficult and overwhelming decisions seniors and caregivers are faced with daily. Ready for qualified and trustworthy healthcare advice? Well, sit back and stay tuned to Senior Talk with Cheryl Culbertson.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Senior Talk. I'm Cheryl Culbertson, your host, where we'll be discussing a variety of subjects each week regarding issues near and dear to the hearts of seniors, children with aging parents, and caregivers. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking about assisted living and memory care with my special guest, Nancy Turco, Executive Director at Arden Courts in Northwest Austin, a memory care community specializing in providing care to those diagnosed with Alzheimer's or related dementias. Nancy is also an ambassador for the Alzheimer's Association Capital of Texas chapter. But before we get started, I just wanted to share a couple of facts about the growing Alzheimer's epidemic. According to the Alzheimer's Association, in 2016, an estimated 5.4 million Americans of all ages had Alzheimer's disease. And by mid-century, someone in the United States will develop the disease every 33 seconds. These numbers will escalate rapidly in coming years, especially as the baby boomer generation has begun to reach age 65 and beyond, the age range of greatest risk of developing Alzheimer's. And there are also now more than 735,000 people living in an assisted living setting nationwide. So as you can see, with the older adult population continuing to increase, along with, unfortunately, the numbers of people affected by Alzheimer's disease, this is why I thought talking about assisted living and memory care is so important and why I'm so pleased to have Nancy as my special guest today. Hello, Nancy. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Well, you betcha. Hey, Nancy, you know, there's a lot of families that may be listening. They're concerned about a parent. Should they be living at home alone any longer? And they're considering an assisted living alternative, but they're not quite sure as it's kind of really new territory to them. Nancy, what are some of the warning signs they should look for that a parent should not be living at home any longer?
Well, there are physical signs, and many of those would be if their parent is anxious or suspicious, forgetting how to use simple, ordinary things like a pencil, or inability sometimes to even recognize family members or certain objects. And some of the signs themselves may be that there's food spoiled in the refrigerator, or sometimes there are unkempt appearance of the family member, the stove gets left on. Many times people pay their bills three or four times, or they don't open their mail. And it can really sneak up on family members who don't see their relative on a day-to-day basis.
And I would think, too, that something, you know, a parent that has a normal routine of, you know, like you said, not being kept up hygienically, if they're the type that mom's always been really good about that, or mom's been really good about keeping things organized around the house, and all of a sudden things just kind of seem in disarray, that would be a really big sign. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And many times, yes, to visit their mother and she hasn't showered, or you know, she has always been impeccably dressed, and now she's still got her pajamas on that she's had for a few days. And, you know, a lot of times with this, we have to be careful because sometimes it's depression, and not only just from the disease, but a general depression itself that the family has to watch out for, because a lot of that sometimes will give the same symptoms of dementia and poor nutrition also. So checking up on things like that is really key with a loved one to make sure that they are getting good nutrition.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to interject because in our family, we have unfortunately have and have had loved ones with Alzheimer's disease. And all of the children live a long distance away. So we made a special point to make sure that My husband's mom had their neighbors, a couple of neighbors, that they had our phone numbers, and it was instrumental because, you know, we can't be there, and they were kind enough to be our eyes and ears, and they would see mom outside kind of wandering around and looking kind of like really, you know, like this was when we started realizing something was wrong. So they were able to call us. And so I would say to the listeners also, you know, if you live a long distance and you've got some kind of rapport with neighbors, please be sure they have your contact information, because they may be the one that ends up calling you saying, hey, you know, something's not right over there.
Absolutely. It's so important to have a team in place. And even on the refrigerator, if the person has a do not resuscitate order for out of hospital or any special instructions, even if someone had to come into the home or like EMS, they always look there first for any contact information. So that's key, especially if there were an emergency and the EMS had to come into the house, they would know to look at the refrigerator first.
That is an excellent idea. And also maybe have a list of the parents' medications that are a part of that so that they would know, you know, what's going on. So let's say, Nancy, that, okay, so if someone's listening, they're like, you know, mom or dad, this is kind of hitting on. We need to be doing something. A lot of families, like I said, this is new territory for them. They don't even know how to start or what to do. But they need to start touring some communities. And keeping in mind, not all the parents live in the same neighborhood or community as the children. In most cases nowadays, they live a long distance. Do you find a place where your parent currently lives, or do you try to find a community closer to where you are? And then what do you look for in a community when you're touring them?
Well, as far as the location, I guess it would depend on the individual. We have many families in Austin who have brought their parents from other areas, Florida, for instance, or we have someone from Colorado that just came here a few weeks ago. And it varies because many times that person is leaving all of their friends, even though they're now going to be near a loved one. A lot of the elderly people have friends, and loss of friends and home is tough for people with dementia. Although I have to say, most of the time, a family member will have their loved one come closer to them, because then they can check on them. You know, someone has to be that parent's advocate when they can't take care of themselves. And especially long distance, they can be victims of scams. There's a lot of people that we have known that have paid for roofing repairs that were never done. Three and four times they've paid for them. And, you know, unfortunately, we had one lady who has a subscription to Time Magazine to the year 2025, and she's 94. So, you know, those kind of scams really happen a lot. So when you're starting to look for an assisted living place, I guess one of the most important thing is to know that assisted living has evolved. It had to evolve to serve the needs of the community. Years ago, an assisted living community wouldn't even allow the use of a walker or a wheelchair. The person had to walk into the building themselves in order to be able to stay there. But because of the changing population and the fact that families do keep their loved one home longer, the AL communities all over, especially in the state of Texas, has had to adjust to that. So typically to reside in an assisted living community, you need to be a one-person assist, which means that it would only take one person to aid them with transferring from their bed to the chair, to help them with their eating and assist with the activities of daily living like showering and medication management.
Right. And, you know, before I move on to my next question, I just want to interject one thing back when you're talking about that the parent has a lot of friends that, you know, they'll be leaving. But in reality, because, you know, our family's been there, done that, their friends are aging and passing on or moving to facilities themselves. So it becomes a very isolated incident. So I'm totally on board with you that to move the parent closer to the children where they can be more involved on a more frequent basis, and I think it would be beneficial to the parent. So, Nancy, for those who are not really sure, because I know Arden Courts is an assisted living memory care community, and kind of take a couple of minutes and explain the difference between assisted living and memory care and how that works.
In regular assisted living, a person is helped to shower and to manage their medication, but there's different levels of that. Many assisted living communities will add costs in for doing the laundry or for specific activity programs, and also even with assisting with eating, where an assisted living memory care typically will combine all of those together. There are some communities that have assisted living on one side and memory care on the other, and then you would pay more if you had to go into memory care because the person is more needy socially and physically. And with memory care, one of the things is that the staff learns approach techniques and learns certain aspects of the disease so that they can be trained in working with the people with dementia, because it's key to make sure that people are trained so that they will have a positive experience for themselves as they're working with the resident, but that the resident specifically will be comfortable with that person. And there's no perfect scenario with a person with dementia because, as we know, different times of day bring different behaviors, especially in the afternoon with sundowning and things like that. As far as the memory care community, there's a special certification that some buildings have that are Alzheimer's certified. And that does mean that each month the staff is trained on different aspects of the disease and how to communicate with the person with the disease, just learning different things like their vision and what they can see and what they cannot see.
So it's, I would say it's very important then for families listening, if they are looking for an assisted living with memory care because perhaps mom or dad has been diagnosed with an Alzheimer's or related dementia, that they ask the community, are you Alzheimer's certified? Because to me, that would be very important because I'm going to have my parent live there and I would know that monthly the staff's being updated and trained on an ongoing basis to, you know, deal with their needs.
Yes, and especially too, many of the memory care communities offer also support groups and resources to aid the families. There is really no right or wrong with this disease. It's a learning process for everyone. There's no magic pill for any of it. So a community with a good record is important. Being deficiency-free is a good sign, but also it's important to look at all of the state reports because many times people will get a complaint about something or a community will, and yet it's unsubstantiated, but you don't always get the full story just by looking at one-line thing on the computer.
And if a family member asked to see those state reports, are they required to provide those to the families?
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's anybody listening, you know, you can ask. And, you know, going back to when you were talking about, you know, it's going to cost more for memory care, in the business that I'm in, I cannot tell you how many emails and inquiries I get for families going, you know, mom or dad, we need to move to an assisted living. They've got Medicare, they've got Medicaid. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's so sad that so many families think that Medicare pays for this. And in fact, it does not. So take a minute and tell us, because it is private pay, what kind of monthly for assisted living versus memory care a family would look at, and what kind of payment options, VA benefits or what have you, that they might be able to tap in, because it is very expensive.
Yes, it is. It can vary. There are no Medicare benefits. Like I say, most are private pay, like you said. And it can vary anywhere from $3,500 for a shared room to a single room, anywhere from $4,000 to $7,000, depending on what services are offered, medication management, as I said, or specific programs. Now, there are benefits for veterans and their spouses, and the Veterans Administration will pay a portion of the monthly cost, but it's not paid up front. It's paid at the end of the month. It's reimbursed to the family.
Okay, and so the family has to come up with it and then get reimbursed from the VA.
Correct. And the family does have to apply for it, and it does take quite a while, actually. It takes, on the average, 6 to 7 months, although if the person is in a community, they will get reimbursed from when the application was put in.
Okay. And so, how long does an average resident live in an assisted living community, assisted living memory care? About how long are they living there before their health declines or unfortunately they pass on?
Yeah, you know, I did look that up, and it looks like in a typical regular assisted living, it's about 21 months. And with a person with dementia, it's about 18 months. Now, we have had people live here 8 years, and, you know, it depends on when they come in on the disease. And also, many times, a small stroke or something may escalate the progress of the disease. And sometimes when the person comes in, their disease symptoms level off because they are getting the correct nutrition and they are also getting their medications when they're needed and getting stimulated mentally so that they are feeling more like a member of society, so they're less depressed.
Right, right. So I think families need to like run a quick numbers here and realize if mom or dad is living there, say an average of 2 years at $3,500 to $4,000 a month, that's a lot of money. And I just, you know, don't think a lot of people realize. And so I'm such a big advocate on start planning ahead. And if they don't have VA, you know, if one of the parents is doing fine and can remain in the home, and perhaps if the home is paid for, they could look at maybe getting a reverse mortgage to help pay for that. Did they ever take out long-term care insurance? Unfortunately, does not work, and families are like shocked at how much this cost.
Mm-hmm. We have quite a few of our people here, fortunately, years ago had taken out a long-term care policy, and those are applicable for a memory care community, typically not for regular assisted living, but for memory care. The long-term care insurance will kick in because the person is not able to live alone by themselves.
Right. And that's great to know. So, I mean, even if somebody's, you know, still in their 50s or 60s, I mean, my husband and I, we took out LTC insurance a few years back because, well, it runs in my husband's family. And, you know, so we're taking a proactive stance. God forbid it ever happens. But if it does with him, we've got that coverage to help with the cost of care down the road.
And that is important. And I know my husband and I, too, got the long-term care insurance. And we were, at the time, 50, but we didn't get the cheapest one because I had had some thyroid cancer before. So you really, you know, mid-40s is the best time to start looking into it. And many of the policies can be a shared policy where you can pay it on a monthly basis, but it could be for either one of you or both of you a certain number of days.
Exactly, exactly. So I think it's just really, really important for families, you know, whether you're thinking about for yourselves or your parents because they're getting older. You know, our whole country is experiencing a silver tsunami. The population is aging and aging really quickly. And I mean, I'm just, you know, saying people wake up and start realizing what's going on, especially with these statistics out with the number of people mid-century, every 33 seconds, somebody's going to be getting Alzheimer's disease. Could that be you? Could that be someone in your family? It's important to sit down and talk about this and start making some plans. And I really love your ideas of when people go into a community, what to look for, and some questions to ask so that they can make the right decision. Because there's a lot of really fine communities out there for people to choose from. So you just got to take your time. And would you suggest taking the family member with them when they tour, or should they tour first by themselves and then bring mom or dad? How does that work?
Well, typically, if a person has dementia, it's not, or even if they don't have dementia, most of the time the person will not like it anyway.
Okay.
You know, you think about somebody saying, you know, let's go look at this assisted living place because you might be moving out of your house and moving in here. So typically the person doesn't like the idea of it anyway. It's best for the family to go and look. And that way, too, you can feel free to ask questions that may be a little bit more delicate, like, you know, how do they handle incontinence? How do they handle different types of behavior if the person is anxious or the person can get angry? And also, a lot of the communities, too, you need to find out whether they have specific diets. You know, there's mechanical soft, pureed. There's some places that offer gluten-free. And even a variety of liquids that you might need as the disease progresses, like the regular, besides regular, they have honey thickened or nectar thickened.
And also for diabetics.
Yeah.
Yes. Very good points. Very good points. Well, Nancy, is there anything else that you would like to add about what a family member should look for or what they can anticipate? And how to help, you know, get mom or dad into a safer environment if they're not able to live at home by themselves?
Sure. I think one of the most important things to look for when you go to a community is to check about the longevity of the staff. Low turnover is really key to a good staff and is a good environment for the residents with dementia because the faces start to be more familiar to them. And so that's important. And also, for people with memory problems, the layout of the community is very important because every community should have an area where a resident can wander freely so that they don't feel constrained. They don't feel like they just have these four walls and these two
walls. Right, because that stresses them out a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does. And then when that happens, many times the answer would be, well, they need more medication, when actually what they need is a little bit more fresh air and a little bit more space to be able to wander and feel like they are part of society rather than stuck into a little four-corner building by themselves.
Exactly. And I love your idea about the staff, how long they've been there, because it's very confusing and frustrating. Like I said, we've had it in our family and going through it now, to have a different face every week or two or once a month. That familiar face, be it the aide that's assisting them with their ADLs or the activity director or the staff, they become to trust that person, and it makes everything move a lot smoother. So having the employees there a long time, that's very key. I like that you brought that up for people to ask long their employees have been there.
Yeah, and it's key for the families, too, because they're a little bit more comfortable. Certainly, especially like with toileting issues and stuff like that, that can be awkward for a son to talk about his mother's issues and things like that. But once you start to trust the staff, then that really makes it a little bit easier as the disease progresses.
Exactly. Now, listen, for everyone listening to the show today, if you have any questions or maybe you'd like to tour Arden Courts there in beautiful Northwest Austin, you can call Nancy. Nancy, what's the best number for them to reach you?
The general number for us in Austin is 512-918-2800. And you can ask for me. I'll be glad to get your questions answered. And if I can't get the answer myself, I'll provide a resource for you to get the information. It's very frustrating for families sometimes to call and not get an answer, and then they have to call again. So we're glad to help out families. Certainly we like people to move into our community, but I would love to be able to steer people in the right direction of where they need to be.
And I would also say you can go on Google and just Google Arden Courts of Austin, and you'll find their website if you want to get other information. Well, Nancy, thank you so very much for being a guest. It was so much fun, great information, and I think it's going to be very useful to any family facing this situation as far as, you know, what direction to go and how to go about. And I would like to close out saying that I will hope listeners will join me next Saturday on the 11th at 3:00. My guest will be Leah Cohen. She is a care manager there in Austin, Texas with Arrange Care. And Leah is going to be discussing what a care manager is, their training and credentials, and just many services that they offer caregivers. So I hope you'll be able to tune in.